Amen. Let's give him a hand.
Thank you, Mr. Donovan. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Mr. John, welcome back. He was out there working extremely hard. Good to see you back. He does an amazing job, like I said last time, where he goes out and he helps farmers. And so they were out in the Midwest. Carnarvon, you know, he was out there in Carnarvon. Did you bring any bananas back? No? Oh, not good. So no bananas for us, eh? Oh. You're very kind, thank you. Hey, good to see you all, and welcome to those that you're here for your first time. I'm here to bring some encouragement this morning, but before we do that, last week we heard from Pastor Chris Pringle in her message to the movement. He's talking about the return of the prodigals. I think it's very easy at times that because of the busyness of life and, you know, because of the business of life, it's very easy to just move on and say, oh, well, that was nice. And but I think that the message that she gave to us was very profound. And what she was saying is that when we pray for people and place them before God, He reaches out in His grace and mercy. So these would have been handed out to you, these little cards called My Discipleship Prayer List. And we're going to ask that we'll be doing this over the next 5 weeks, including this week and then 4 weeks after that, where we are praying. We will pray together about people that should be on this list, people that do not know the Lord, but you know they should be on this list. Because you're going to pray for them, because you're going to recognize that, hey, if I'm on my way to heaven, who has missed the train? Now, this has to be somebody that's within your circle, not somebody in, let me pick a country that's far away from here, Antarctica, you know, someone that you don't know. Lord, I just pray for so-and-so in Antarctica. No, write down the person's name as we were instructed to do and begin to intercede for them. And especially for your family, if we can be selfish, let us pray for our family members. It might not be just 3 people, it might be 20 people. But hey, these are the people that you continually bring before the Lord and begin to say, Lord, I pray for Jack, I pray for Jill and whoever else, you know. I pray for Jack and Jill and for Bob as well, Bob the Builder. And so these are the people that are on your list that you are praying, Lord, save them. You know, one thing that we need to understand is that God does not need you and I, but He chooses to need you and I. Therefore, we have, in His economy, we have a responsibility to partner with the Lord. And this is what the Lord said to Abram. He said, "Should I hide from Abram what I'm about to do?" And there was a reason why He said that. He said, seeing that I'm going to make him a what? A great nation. So should I hide what I'm about to do? Then the Lord said, look, fire and brimstone are going to be, I've heard all these weird and crazy things about Sodom and Gomorrah. And so I have come so that I can go and check it out and see that what I've heard is true. So somebody had made a report about what was happening there. And then now Abraham begins to intercede because he recognized that his family, his nephew, was in Sodom. And he negotiates God down from 50 to 40 to 30 to 10. Eventually, what we know, the intention of the Lord was not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, even if there were a few people. He would have saved it, but there were none. Except Lot, of course. And then Lot, his wife and his daughters, 3 daughters, came out, except the wife did not follow the conditions of the agreement, which is don't look back, and boom, a pillar of salt. And so she missed out, and then they saw the fire being rained down. That is not God's intention for your family. That is not God's intention for humanity. He wants people to come to know Him. But hey, He wants to partner with us. So we are going to pray some people into the kingdom, your family that doesn't know the Lord. So if you could take this, write the names on. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, you partner with your people. Lord, it is your desire, Lord God, for all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And so, Father, we are going to commit, Lord God, as a church and as individuals to lift up the names of three people, Lord, that you are drawing, that we want to come into your kingdom, for them to come into relationship with you. And we believe and we know, Lord God, that as we pray to you, you hear us, Lord God, and you would save our family in Jesus' name. Amen. God's intention was to save Sodom and Gomorrah if there were a few people in there. Then you look at Rahab, when the spies went in to scan the land before they came to destroy Jericho. She said, the guys said, hey, whoever is in your house is going to be what? Saved. So guess what she did? She got everybody, her brothers, her sisters, her family, brought everybody in. And there was a scarlet rope. That was the sign that this one you do not touch. And so eventually the spies made it their personal responsibility to go, because what they were instructed by Joshua was, you go and make sure that the people in Rahab's house are what? Are saved. And so this is what happens when we begin to partner with the Lord. He begins to do things to save people. Amen. Today, I guess, is the midpoint. This is the last Sunday of the first 6 months of the year. The financial year finishes on Tuesday at 11:59. And I want to encourage you. In fact, my prayer has been, my hope is that you are thriving over these last 6 months. Things have been going good for you. And so my encouragement for you is about the next 6 months and the next years coming up ahead. So whether things are flourishing or falling short of your expectations, I believe that there are some spiritual practices that we must not abandon. It's tempting to abandon those practices. Luke chapter 18 verse 1 says, men ought to pray and to faint not. Men ought to pray and not to lose heart. So even though you might have been praying and praying and praying and not seeing things happen, my encouragement to you today is to do what? To continue to pray. We spoke about it recently, that or last few months, about in Acts, when things were going great in people's lives, everything was going swimmingly. It says, now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, so things were going good. Your bank account was increasing, everything. And then all of a sudden it says, there was a complaint by the Hellenists. A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food and all that. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples. So they gathered the whole church and said, all right, look, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, pick for yourselves 7 men of good reputation that are, and so there were conditions that were put together, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and we'll appoint them to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so as they did that, as they made that commitment, it says that, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Please put your hands together for my sister. Thank you very much. We cannot abandon prayer and God's word. That is the last thing we need to do. We cannot do that. Our lives are dependent on it. If you are in charge of a family, that's the starting point. You need the Lord. You cannot abandon the place of prayer to pray for your children, to pray for your grandchildren, your nieces and your nephews. You cannot abandon the place of prayer. Those are the main things. Regardless of how your life is going, and the temptation sometimes when things don't go away, is to sort of like say, you know what, I've been trying this for the last 3 years. Instead of things getting better, they've got what? Worse. What's the point? Let me not do it. Or it might be that, oh, things are going great. So, I don't think I really need the Lord much. Everything is going great in my life. The one thing that we cannot do, because what will happen even when things are going good is that distractions will come your way. That answer to prayer will be a distraction for you. And then all of a sudden, the things that you used to labor for, you don't labor for them anymore. We all know this because a lot of us here are married. Some, others are yet to marry, and maybe they're crying out for someone to marry. But for those that have been married, you used to cry, oh Lord, please send me a wife. Please, and you used to be on your knees day and night. And then he sends that good wife and that good husband. And then after a while, you're like, I got it. No need to continue to pray. But you know what actually happens? The battle changes. Now that I've got the wife, now that I've got the husband, now that I've got what I need, the battle changes, because now it's going to be, is my heart more devoted to the answer than it is to the person who provided the answer? So always we all need to pray and never to abandon the reading of the Word of God. So prayer must be woven into the fabric of our daily lives. It is something that we need to do. And I wonder, where do you run to when things fall apart in your life? Because the truth is that the thing that you run to when things go left in your life, that is your God. The thing that you run to when things go left and are not going well in your life, that is your God. When you hear something, do you run and say, Lord? Or do you go to self and try and come up with some solutions yourself before you go to the Lord? Whatever we turn to in those moments reveals what we truly worship. And that is our God. So I just think that over the next few months, as you're navigating life and the complexity of it, and we're talking here about not abandoning prayer and God's word, and I sincerely, strongly believe on my heart that we are called to be a people that pray. We are called to be a people that are devoted to the prayer and to prayer and to the word, because that is what sustains us. That is what will sustain us. And to be quite honest, we need to be dialed into the Lord so that we are not surprised when things happen. That somehow God will give us some advance warning. That there is a system that God has created where somehow you might not know what it is. You might not have the full revelation of what it is. But there is a sensing that something is up. You are troubled in your spirit. All of a sudden you are woken up in the night. You have some crazy dreams. And it's not just the one dream, it's, you know, there's a similar dream pattern that is occurring in your life. That should tell you that, ooh, there is a message that is trying to what? To come through. And that as you begin to pray and to intercede, somehow God will begin to reveal things. And also at times, the full expression of what is about to happen to you will not happen. The full expression that something's disaster might be coming your way, but because you begin to intercede, you don't get the full ramifications, because somehow you've thwarted the arrows, because arrows are shot and you don't know that the arrows are what? Are on their way. But the Lord will give you advance warning, and then you begin to put up the, what do they call this thing for missiles? The missile defense thing. That's what happens. Huh? The dome or whatever, you know. So they, when they shoot these missiles, they're on their way. Somehow the missile defense system will intercept. This is what we're supposed to do, because we're dialed in to the Lord. Amen? So there is a certain type of, I've titled this message, inquiry. Because there's two types of inquiry we can make to the Lord. There is an inquiry where we are seeking for direction, decision. And then there is another inquiry we are seeking God to understand, why are things happening in my what? In my life. In Judges chapter 1 verse 1 to 2, it says, after the death of Joshua, the people of Israel inquired of the Lord, who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? The Lord said, Judah shall go up, and then behold, I have given the land into his hand. And then in 2 Samuel verse 20, chapter 21, verse 1 to 3, it says, now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. How many years?
3 years.
And it says, year after year. And David sought the face of the Lord. And the Lord said, there is blood guilt on Saul and on his house, because he put the Gibeonites to death. So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. This is David. And he says to them, look, it says, now the Gibeonites were not of the people of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. Although the people of Israel had sworn to spare them, Saul had sought to strike them down in his zeal for the people of Israel and Judah. And David said to the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you, and how shall I make atonement that you may bless the heritage of the Lord? Inquiry number one, this one in Judges, where they said, they inquired of the Lord, who will go for us first against the Canaanites? And what happened was that then the Lord, that word inquired, the Hebrew meaning is sha'al. You are inquiring of the Lord because you are seeking what? And the word means to ask, to request, to seek information, to consult. And so they prayed, Lord, what do you want us to do next? The emphasis that lies here is that we are looking for somebody that has the authority and knowledge that can direct our paths. We're not asking for opinion. We are consulting the one who sees what we cannot see, who knows what we don't know, and who has the right to direct our steps. This inquiry at its core is asking God for direction before taking what? Action. Because we are human beings, we are prone to action. This is why I think Jesus said when he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them. And he said, the harvest is surely plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, if he had stopped there, then the disciples would have gone around scurrying about, trying to do stuff, instituting some strategy. But that's not what the Lord said. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest. The first thing we are asked to do is to pray. Because I think it's from that place of prayer that we will get the direction to do the things that God is wanting us to do. So we are not using cerebral head knowledge, but we are dialed into what God wants to do. Because we know that if we are dialed into God, then more or less we're going to hit the target. But if we do it in our own strength, it then becomes hocus pocus, abracadabra, hey presto. We are just groping in the dark without full precision. Now, what we have to understand is that we are asking God for direction before taking action. Not then saying, look, Lord, this is what I'd like to do. Do you agree with it? Yes or no? I've already made up my mind. And so now I'm just inquiring as a formality, not being driven by the response I get from the Lord. And the challenge, you see, is when we inquire of the Lord for direction, for a decision, the battle that we face is the battle of time. Because the issue, we would like the answer when? Now. Not tomorrow. I want it now. And then you see what happens. God said to Abram, hey, you'll be the father of many nations. You'll bear a child of promise. And then he what? The promise came at 75. And then he started to put things into action because the struggle that he had, which is a human struggle, is time. Can I wait on the Lord's time? Easier said than done, I'll admit. I want it now. I don't know why I wanted to get married. Well, I'll tell you why. You probably all know why. But Lord, I'm praying. I want a wife. I mean, unfortunately, that was the thing in Christian circles. They want you to get married early. And so you're like, all right, I'm praying for a wife. And whilst that's a good thing. It's a good thing to pray for a wife or for anything for that matter. But you know, when I look back, it seemed like it took a very long time. But when I think of it, from when I came to Australia in 99, I got married in 2004, but that nearly 5 years seemed like what? Forever. But we all know that 5 years is not really a what? A long time. We underestimate, in fact, we overestimate what we can do in a year and, you know, underestimate what can happen in 5 years, in blocks of time. So when we look back on our lives, the thing that tarried and took a long time didn't. I remember praying when I was in Zimbabwe. I struggled through high school, and then, they didn't think I would go far in my family. And so, but I said to myself, even if it takes me 20 years, this, I must have said this in 95 or 94. I said, 95, 96. I said, even if it takes me 20 years, I am going to get a what? Degree. By December 2000, I had my degree, you know. So it seemed something that was far away. And so the struggle that we have is the struggle of time. Can we wait on the Lord before we take action? Because people will begin to say to us, oh my goodness, you're what? You're 40. You haven't yet gone to school or, you know, like. And so now we start to feel the what? The pressure. So it's very easy for us to go to God when we've already got, this is what I'm doing. But genuinely seeking his counsel, his wisdom, and then we wait to hear and obey what he reveals. King David is our greatest example of someone who inquired of the Lord before before most decisions. So David, when he came back and his family was captured, he didn't just run and say, okay, I'm going to fight the people that had captured his family. You know what he did? He went to inquire of the Lord. Should I go after them? And the Lord said, yes, go and pursue. And he did that. Now, you've got to understand that David was a military guy. So he would know, he could strategize, he was given a mind, he was smart. But even then, he would still bring it to the Lord. So whether you're running a business and God has given you great intellect, whether you're leading your family, whatever stage of life you're at, the point we're making here is that our posture is a posture of dependability on God. Lord, do you want me to go ahead? You may not hear something, but you know what? The truth of the matter is that just as he answered them in Judges, he will answer you. And then you've got the direction that you need to move ahead. Because once you seek his answer, you can be confident that, hey, the things that I'm pursuing, I am going to get. Because that's what he would always say to David, proceed, and you'll get what? You'll get what you're looking for. So, one of the key things we have to do is that as we seek him for guidance, just because the Lord said yes yesterday to one thing, does not mean now you can use the answer from yesterday to then do the things today. David has taught us that we go to the Lord today and say, Lord, what's the program? And God will give you insight, because when you now begin to take yesterday's answer for today's method, that's now presumptuous. And that's what the Lord does not want. That's now being presumptuous. Who told you that what I said yesterday is meant for today? So you make the inquiry again, trusting in the Lord and hoping that he'll do what? He will answer you. The distinction between David and Saul is that Saul acted first and then sought God. That was his pattern. And we can see that on most occasions, he failed. David's approach was fundamentally different. So inquiry precedes action. Not action precedes inquiry. Inquiry expresses dependence. We are dependent on you, Lord, because there are certain things you see. And sometimes we would wish that our children would come for inquiry and say, since you are of age, could you please give me some direction? And you know, as parents, guess what we'd love to do? We love to dispense our knowledge and our experience like little gods. You know, we've experienced a bit, so we'll tell them, don't do this, don't do that. So inquiry expresses dependence because we understand that human wisdom at times is insufficient. God, through our inquiry, reveals things that are hidden. And like I said before, past guidance doesn't eliminate present inquiry. Just because I got it yesterday and this was the yes does not mean that's the way today. This is why you find that when Moses, one time he was told, speak to the rock, and he spoke to it. The last time, I think he was told, hit. And so instead of doing the thing he was told for present, he relied on what happened before. And then look what happened to him. Because of that disobedience, he did not get to see the promised land. My point is that we cannot be presumptuous to think just because God answered us this way yesterday, he's going to do the same tomorrow. So it means that it's going to require greater dependence from you and I on the Lord. Inquiry is often accompanied by worship, is often inquired by fasting and humility. So where now this sha'al, this prayer of inquiry, is about direction of what should I do, where should I go, who should lead, should we proceed now? The next bit in 2 Samuel chapter 21, this type of inquiry is about understanding, is about seeking understanding. Lord, what is happening? What haven't we seen in this instance? What is the root cause of what's going on in my family? Lord, can you reveal what is hidden? 2 Samuel 21 says, now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and so we've obviously read it before. And it says, David sought the face of the Lord. Others say, inquired. That inquiry in the Hebrew is bakwash. So he bakwashed of the Lord. This one was seeking understanding. Now, remember, the first year, there was a drought. So people can say, oh, okay, this year we have a drought. And they might say, oh, it's due to global warming or climate change. All right, we understand that. Then the second year, the same thing happens. People will find reasons, plausible reasons, why the same thing happened. And then after the third year, I think David said, hold on, this is not normal. Something is going on here. And that's when he went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord revealed to him what the issue was. So once you begin to notice pattern in your life, it's the same things you're dealing with over and over and over again. Now you got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, can you reveal the things that are hidden that I cannot what? I cannot understand. So when you notice this pattern, the same thing, whether it's bouts of anger, you find this the same struggle, you see that in your family, you know, everybody's just struggling. It's absolutely not normal. You then begin to ask yourself a question, or you have the same recurring dream over and over and over. You wonder, what is going on? Hey, this is this type of seeking. Lord, why is this happening? Give me some understanding. What you have to understand, David sought God to uncover what could not be discerned naturally. Something was off, and he said, this is not right. The problem was visible, but the covenantal cause was hidden. The cause is unknown. Why is this happening? But then God reveals the issue when they sought him. And then he acted in accordance with the revelation that he got, which says, it is for Saul and his bloody house. You have to understand that when this occurred, Saul obviously was very zealous for Israel and for Judah. And then with the Gibeonites, he slaughtered them, which he should not have done. Because in Joshua chapter 9, when Joshua was leading, the Gibeonites tricked them into coming into what? Covenant agreement with them. And because of that, they couldn't destroy them anymore because they had said, we make this agreement in the name of the Lord. And because of that, they can't kill them anymore. They had been tricked by the Gibeonites. This is what happens when there's prayerlessness in our life and we don't inquire of the Lord. We end up doing things that have got hidden consequences for others down the track. You also have to understand that when Joshua made this agreement with the Gibeonites, the reason why the Gibeonites were afraid of the Israelites, and they said, you know what, let's create an alliance with them. And so they lied that we've come from a faraway land, XYZ, help us and all that. And they said, all right, cool, we'll help you, not knowing they'd come from far away. But by then, it was too late. They had already, they did not inquire of the Lord like they always did. They always inquired of the Lord before, but this time they just went into agreement and said, yep, we're good. And so God honored that thing, covenant from the famine that David, the Israelites were experiencing, was 400 years. God honors covenants. God honors covenants. And then he began to explain that, hey, it is because of what Saul did. So now you've got to atone for that, so that your land will be blessed again. And so once they found out that information, then David said to them, look, what do I have to do to atone for this issue? It's the same thing that Jesus Christ did for us, that we were guilty of our sins, but by his blood, and he made atonement for us. This is why the scripture says that we do not have a high priest that is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. That though he was tempted, he did not sin. And then it says, so therefore we can come through the throne room of God with boldness, where we will receive mercy and find grace in the time of need. So Jesus paid the price for us. But even though there was something that was holding the people back, you and I can be saved, but somehow there is something that is holding us back. Please understand this. The word of the Lord says that forgive us our sins as what? So if you are going to experience true freedom in your life, true forgiveness, you are going to have to let go of some unforgiveness. You hold on to some unforgiveness, well, there's a cause and effect there. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So sometimes unforgiveness in our lives can thwart the things what God wants to do in our lives. It could be in Joshua. Remember when they went to Jericho, the Lord said, right, when you go into Jericho, I'm going to win this battle for you. There's certain things that you need to do. But please make sure that you destroy what? Everything. And so, one of the guys thought to himself, this is great. They went, the walls came down, they went in, they killed. And then, a man named Achan decided to do what? To take some cloth, must have been very nice cloth, that he said, oh, this is a nice garment, I'll take that for myself. Then he took the equivalent of 2.2 kgs of silver, which at yesterday's price was about $5,000 Australian. Then he took for himself 0.55 kgs of gold, which at yesterday's price again was $109,000 Australian dollars. And so now after that, they went into battle. So Joshua then said to two spies, go in and check AI and see what's up. So he goes. And the spies go and say, look, we easy. Don't send a lot of people. Just send a few people. We'll destroy them. and they lost in battle. And then all of a sudden, the Lord, Joshua goes to the Lord and says, what's going on? And then he says, you guys have done something wrong. Then they cast lots, and then they found out that it was Achan. And Achan came, and then this is his response. Truly I have sinned against the Lord, for I have taken of the accursed thing, the thing that I was told not to what? Not to take. So they found those things. So it was some, let's just say Gucci clothing, Louis Vuitton, because that's expensive. A scarf from Louis Vuitton will cost you at least $800. So they brought all those beautiful material and the gold and the silver. And guess what happened to his family? The action of one man who did the wrong thing condemned his whole family, because they brought them out everything and they stoned the whole family. And then after that atonement was achieved, they went back to fight those people and they completely destroyed them. Hey, so there are things that we can do that can hold up other people in our family. So when we start to receive these repeat patterns in our lives, we have to ask the Lord, why? Why is this happening? And I'll get the team to get back up. Thank you. So, prayerlessness is not an option. We have to pray. We have to inquire of the Lord. We inquire the Lord for direction, for decision. But we also inquire of the Lord to find out, God, what's going on in my family? There just seems to be these issues. And you know what? God in his providence will reveal. I think one of the issues that we have is, or we may have, not that we have, you have it, we may have, is we have a price problem. Are we willing to pay the price for inquiry? Are we willing to pay the price? That's it. That's our biggest problem. Am I willing to pay the price for freedom for my family? Are you going to lay up grandmother, grandfather, uncle? Are you going to lay up an aunt? Are you going to lay up prayers for your grandchildren? Are you going to lay up prayers for your nieces and your nephews? Will you lay up prayers for your what? For your children, for your friends, and for your family? The biggest thing we have, we may have, again, is a price problem. Because I'm not willing to do whatever it takes. Because if we are going to see our family saved, then guess what? It's going to take everything that we have. The question, I guess, for you and I is, are we willing to pay that price? Are we willing to do whatever it takes? So when the Lord begins to reveal to you the reasons for your patterns in your life, you have to then be obedient. You then have to be obedient. For some of you, for some of us here, there are some things that we are going to probably need to do. There's going to be repentance in our lives. Hey Lord, I've sinned. Or I've continual sin in my life. Because that could be thwarting things from taking place. The other one could be forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. Or you're going to have to forgive somebody. You might have stolen money from someone. $20, let's just say. Restitution. Reconciliation. You are going to have to take a step of obedience when you make that inquiry. Because what we want to do is to break those patterns in our family life. What we want to do is to break those patterns that we see occurring over and over again. Let me tell you this, and this is the softest warning I will give. What you don't deal with, your children are going to have to deal with, and unfortunately, it is going to get stronger. There are certain things in our life, certain patterns that we are responsible to break, because if we don't do that, then unfortunately, our children are going to have to deal with it. Hey, let's stand this morning. The focus that we have is always on responding faithfully to what God actually reveals, not on searching for hidden causes beyond what he has made known. You're not necessarily going on a witch hunt here or a demonic trail. But what you're doing is inquiring of the Lord to say, hey, Lord, I see these patterns in my family life. I see these patterns in my life. I can't see, there's just things that I see happening over and over again. Lord, can you reveal to me what it is? And God will begin to reveal. My prayer for you is that you'll have the courage when the Lord reveals what it is to seek him. Number one, Lord, forgive me and my family. We have the blueprint from King David that when things were not going right, he sought the Lord. And they did what they needed to do for atonement. What they actually did is that when they went to the Gibeonites, they asked, we want seven of Saul's family. And they fished out seven guys and they got killed. That was to make atonement. But we know that Jesus has made atonement for you and I. And so we rely on the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. The word says in Hebrews 12:23, it says, we have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks what? Forgiveness. The blood of Abel cries out for what? For revenge. So there are things that are crying out for revenge in our lives. But what we have to bring is the blood of Jesus because it speaks for us. So what we're going to do this morning is that we're going to, I'm just going to lead us in a prayer of repentance and asking the Lord to come. If you've never made the decision that say, hey, I want the Lord to come into my life. We'll pray that. It's an invitation. And if you may repeat after me, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me on the cross, making atonement for my sins. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins today and I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that was you that made that prayer for the very first time, you know, I think it's important that you would raise your hand and our team would be willing to sit with you and just help you on this journey. So if that's you, just, you know, raise your hand and then we'll get into some worship. We're still on time. Okay. Then I'm going to come back after we sing a bit, and then I'm going to pray to break these patterns in our lives.